Do you work from home? Or do you spend a lot of time at home with your dog? If so, then this episode's for you. We're going to be talking about working from home and the do's and the don'ts that go along with it. Let's get into it next. All right, let's get this week's episode going. By the way, I just like this new intro music. It just gets me so much more excited than the other stuff. And like I mentioned in the last episode, I like the other stuff. It's fine, but it's good to change things up every once in a while. So this one just has more energy, gets me excited to talk to you guys about dogs, about things maybe we're not doing right, and just making everything a lot better between you and your dog. And that's what we're going to do today on this episode. If you're not aware, I am Jake from OnDogTrainingAcademy.com. We're an online dog training company. We have courses. We have some free webinars. We do private lessons virtually. Check us out. We're here to help you guys. That's always our goal. But like I said, our main thing for this week is going to be working from home and the do's and don'ts that go along with it. Now, I know 2020 was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever, but, well, roughly, it's, you know, we're getting close to 2024, so about 3 years ago. And so working from home isn't anything new, but what we find is that people are continuing to struggle with developing this good relationship with their dog while they're at home. And when I really talk to clients and get into what their problems are, we're seeing a lot of common things pop up. And so I just want to go over a handful of some things that people are doing that maybe they shouldn't, and some things that people should be doing and maybe aren't or aren't doing enough of it. And like I said, you know, it just seems to be working from home is becoming more and more popular. Obviously, we do it. We run an online dog training company. And so we do a lot of work from home, and so we do the things that I'm about to tell you. We're doing these literally daily with our own dog. The first things I want to talk about are the don'ts. Let's get the things that we just should not be doing out of the way. And, you know, some of them are going to be obvious, and some of them you might go, oh, well, that's interesting, and hopefully that is the case. The first one is a big one, and this is constant freedom. People just have this idea in their head that, well, I'm home, so I don't have to crate my dog. I don't have to, you know, confine my dog to anything. I can just let him have free run of the house. Piece of cake, easy, no problem, right? And there's a lot of things that we'll unpack here in a second that can come from that. Some pretty big things. And first off, especially depending on your dog's age, can they handle having the house to themselves unsupervised? Now you might say, well, I'm home, so I'm able to watch them. But if you're home working and you're able to watch your dog, then your work's going to suffer. But if you focus on work, then paying attention to your dog is going to suffer, and potentially something could happen. Your dog could get into something that could be hazardous, could block them. Maybe they destroy your couch. Maybe they, you know, do Lord knows what. And really something that I see from this, aside from obviously the safety issues, is that your dog starts to develop bad habits like counter cruising and different things like that that are not going corrected or not being fixed. And that's because you're not seeing it happen. And the rule is you can't yell at a dog if they've done something that's already passed a decent amount of time. Like if the dog pulls your purse off of the island or off of the counter, gets into it, eats whatever, then goes over and takes a 20-minute nap, you can't come out and yell at your dog for pulling your purse off of the counter because they've moved on mentally. You can't, it just doesn't work. It's not effective. It actually does more damage to your relationship than anything, any learning experience your dog might have from that. So this is where supervision is super important, like I said, especially with young dogs. The other thing it sort of develops then is this dog who becomes very accustomed to being able to be everywhere you are. And so this is where we could see separation anxieties pop up, or just this dependency on you that's more unhealthy than what we would like to see. I did a podcast a long time ago, and I actually was on a lot of different podcasts, and I was on a lot of different pages and stuff talking about this. My concern early on in the pandemic was, okay, we have a lot of dogs who are going to be at home, and people are just going to be hanging out with their dogs all day because they have nothing else to do. There's going to be problems when we get back to work, when people start going back to work. Now, even if you're going to say, you know what, I work from home and this is what I do, and so I'm not going to be going back to any sort of office, it doesn't matter. You want to have some structure and stuff to your dog's life. You don't want to give them that constant freedom, because what if you have to travel somewhere or your dog has to stay somewhere where being contained for certain portions of the day is just what's going to have to happen? You need your dog, or want your dog, to be conditioned to it. You don't want to stress them out by throwing something at them that they're maybe not used to or conditioned to. So it's always good to not do that. So don't give them that constant freedom. It's not good for them. It's not good for you, you know. And honestly, it's not good for your peace of mind. Like if you're getting interrupted, and I know this from examples. Like I'm sitting here recording a podcast, and my dog is upstairs, because if he was in here with me, he would be putting his head on my knee. He would be bugging me to pet him because I'm talking. And if you ever talk on the phone with your dog around, you'll know what I'm saying. The dogs just seem like they need to pester you a little bit more when you're on the phone or you're just talking seemingly to yourself in the dog's eyes. So you know, keep that in mind. The next thing is, don't give in to your dog's demands constantly. Now, I'm not saying don't let your dog outside. What I am saying is don't let your dog outside every hour, unless they're in that age group where you're potty training and you still need that type of schedule. Fine, I understand. But your dog might be like, I'm bored, entertain me, brings you a toy, play with me, you know, bugs you to go outside, looking for that constant attention. This is where it can really affect your work day, your productivity, your mood, everything. And so don't give in to them. This is why when we start going into the do's, we're going to have some solutions to these problems. But don't feel like you have to like be at your dog's beck and call all the time. It doesn't have to be. Your dog's basically just attention seeking the whole time. They're just like, well, I'm going to come up and pester you, because when I do, you pet my head and say, not now, buddy, but you pet me. You know, this is where teaching your dog the command, like my dog, I'm like, go away. Go away means go lay down, go entertain yourself. I am not going to be your entertainment for now. So that is something to really keep in mind. The last one then is, and I kind of already touched on this, but I'm going to touch on it again because I think it's really important, is don't allow your dog to be your shadow. So where you go, your dog shouldn't always go. Now, this is a big rule for me and for our house. And that is everywhere in the house. You know, sometimes I go outside and my dog comes with me. A lot of times he does. But sometimes I go outside without him. Sometimes I go get the mail and he doesn't get to come with. Other times he does. The big one, and I don't understand, and I think I've probably talked about this in a previous podcast episode, is the bathroom. Why do people feel the need for their dog to join him in the bathroom? It never has made sense to me. No, the dog doesn't need to be part of that. No, keep them separate. Separating you and your dog is a very healthy thing. You don't want your dog, again, so unhealthily attached to you that they just basically can't live without you in a very unhealthy way. Dogs, obviously, we want them to know that they can't live without us, but not in the sense of like, I have to be next to you and in your skin all the time. This is what gets created when dogs are allowed to become our shadows and follow us around all the time. So that is a big one. Like, just close your bathroom door. If your dog's whining outside of it, tell them to shut up and just do your stuff and come back out. Or just completely ignore them. Like, don't acknowledge that they're doing it. You know, building bad habits like that or desires like that, it's just not going to be something that's going to be healthy long term. So now, let's talk about some of the do's that you should be doing. And there's a little bit more of this, which is good because, well, I want you to do these things and I think they're very helpful. The first one is to create a routine like you don't work from home. Now, you can be a little more lenient on this than say you have to go to work for 8 hours so your dog is crated for 8 hours. I'm not saying crate your dog for 8 hours and ignore them the whole time and whatever. What I'm trying to say though is you wake up in the morning and, you know, they get fed, they get potted, and then maybe they go back to their kennel for an hour or two or three as you go to get some work done. Then you take a break and you go and let your dog out. You play with them, you do whatever. And then you put them back away and you go back to work again. You know, this type of routine is going to help you, especially if there's any chance you're going to be going back in the office anytime soon. We ran into the same thing, or we run into the same thing this, you know, in the fall, in like the September time when kids are getting back into school. So kids' summer routines, especially with young dogs, if they got a puppy over the summer, kids' summer routines is they're home a lot more, which means the dog is allowed to be out a lot more. And now all of a sudden, kids are in school, parents are working, whatever, whether it's at home or away, and that schedule has changed. So you always want to try and keep your schedule or your routine as similar as you can all the time. You know, things obviously fluctuate periodically, and dogs are decent at kind of going with the flow at times, but you don't want to have big drastic changes if you can help it. So get on a good routine that is just going to be good through the summer, through the fall, through the winter, through the spring, all of the seasons as best as you can. It's going to be extremely helpful for you and your dog. The next one is play, walk, you could even say train early. I really like to do this with my own dog. So we get up in the morning and he potties, and then I feed him, and then I rest him. I don't like to play with a dog right before I feed them or right after I feed them. So there is about an hour rest there. But after they've rested their stomach for a while, I will go play with them and engage them, whether it's through training and playing or taking them for a walk or playing fetch with them in the backyard. I really like to burn a lot of the dog's energy early. What that's going to lead to is a much better work day for you when it comes to your dog as not being a distraction, because they're more tired. A tired dog is a happy dog. Well, this is the case. As a tired dog is a happy owner, worker, whatever. You get what I'm saying though. Like, you want to make sure your dog is tired so that you can function throughout the day and not be constantly bothered. Now, if the weather sucks and you're not really knowing what to do, I think the best thing is to work the dog's brain, doing training, doing what you can there. You can always play tug of war games. You can play nose games. You can do different things. But taking that time earlier in the day to exercise your dog is going to set you up for a better work day where your dog isn't quite as much of a distraction. The next one is to create a separate a space for your dog while you're at work. So creating a separate space, it could be a kennel. It could be an exercise pen. I typically would say crate your dog. Even if you're in the same room together and you're like, I just want my dog in here because I have to watch him or do whatever, kennel them, put them away. Say you're going to go over here and you're going to lay in your kennel and you're going to, this is your space while I work. You're not going to pester me. You're not going to bark at me when I'm trying to do a Zoom call or something like that, or a Zoom meeting. You know, you want to make sure that your dog is not going to be that distraction. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we're big into, you know, going to webinars and you know, listening to a lot of people talk about different things. And it's so surprising how often people's dogs seem to interfere with their meetings. So they're talking to the group and all of a sudden their dog's barking in the background because it sees a squirrel outside. Or your dog, it starts to jump up on you. I see cats do the same thing, but we don't train those. But, you know, just them getting in the way and being a distraction and kind of pulling focus away from what you're trying to do, whatever that might be. So creating that separate space where you have toys and bones and things for them. I don't like putting toys in kennels because I don't want the dog to destroy them. But you know, putting bones in their kennel, giving them something to chew on. If they're in an exercise pen or in an enclosed area, you certainly can put some toys in there as long as they're safe for them. But you're giving your dog something to do that is not pestering you. You know, and I'm not saying, like, if you get up to go to the bathroom or something, it's always acknowledge your dog, pet them on the head, tell them they're doing an awesome job, give them a treat, do something like that. Of course, we want to acknowledge if they're being good. I'm not saying completely ignore your dog and pretend they don't exist. We just need to keep that separation. I think it's going to be really helpful for both you and your dog, just long term in the whole working from home situation. Next one is to train obedience skills. And that's an obvious. I don't care really what your work situation is. I think it's always good to train your dog. However, really focus on what skills your dog is going to need to be able to be good while you work from home. So maybe that means you need to do some kennel training. Maybe it means you need to work on stays. Or you need to work on healing so you can optimize your walks when you take them out. Or recalls so you can get your dog to come in the house faster because you have to make it to meetings. You know, really, there's certain things for... I mean, it's going to be... You're going to customize this to your own work schedule needs, whatever. But, like, really figuring out what your dog should be doing and focusing on those skills, to me, makes a big difference. Like, I always want to do foundation training, and foundation training is super important. You need to have that foundation. But after I have the good foundation training, I'm going to say, okay, what are the main needs of my dog, or the main things I need my dog to do for me in order for this to work? And those are what I start to put more of an emphasis on. I'm not going to completely ignore everything else, but I'm going to put a bigger emphasis on the things that I absolutely need. You know, like there was a client we worked with recently, and the dog was absolutely lovely, and it needs to sit in on meetings and with her and sometimes be called upon, other times just sit there and be good. And our main focus was teaching the dog to stay on a bed and just hang out next to her unless the dog is told otherwise. And that was our main goal. Was it the main thing the dog maybe needed if it was my dog in my world? No. But for her, in her world, that's a big deal. That was a big thing we wanted to work on. So that's what we put a bigger emphasis on. So really, I've said this before, but like make a list and write down things you want your dog to be good at, that you need your dog to be good at, and then put a little bit more energy and focus into those skills. The next one then would be daycare. This is kind of the last one, and it's daycare is always interesting in my opinion. There's good daycares, there's bad daycares, there's dogs who do great in daycare, there's dogs who don't do great in daycare. So this one, I would say, put an asterisk next to, and it just depends. If you have a dog that's really good with playing and really likes it, this might be a good thing to do once a week to burn some excess energy out, especially if you have a big workload that week or something and you're like, look, I can't play with you as much as I want to. I can't do whatever, so I'm going to send you to daycare and let them have their energy get run out. And people struggle with this. I bring this up to people and say, hey, this is something you might want to consider. And they're like, it just feels so silly because I'm home. And, you know, I'm here with my dog. I don't need to put him in daycare. I'm telling you, the energy they'll get out of daycare is going to be a lot more than the energy you're going to be able to get out of them at home. So I think there's a big value to it, even though you're just leaving your house, bringing them to daycare, and coming back to your house. As foolish as it sounds, it's so worth it. Now, if your dog can't handle that, don't do that. If your dog comes home with really bad habits or things you don't like, either A, find a different daycare, or B, don't do daycare. You know, it has to be the right fit for the dog. I don't want the dog to go to daycare and come home with so many bad habits that it's actually affecting other things that your dog maybe did well prior. You know, and so that's kind of everything, just a short list of do's and don'ts. There's a lot more I could probably talk about, but we like to keep these podcasts nice, short, and digestible for you guys. So just keep in mind that even though you're working from home, this is kind of the biggest tip, the biggest thing when it comes to it, is even though you're working from home, get that schedule, get that routine, and really make sure you're giving your dog timeouts. Take a break, take a nap, you know, whatever. And that doesn't mean take a nap by your feet. I get the joy of having a dog just hang out with you while you're in your meetings and stuff, and that's fantastic. But if you're struggling with stuff, especially not even just struggling with work stuff, if like you can't leave your dog without your dog freaking out, this could be possibly part of the reason why that's happening. So hopefully you guys learned a little something from this episode. Hopefully it was helpful to you. We always ask if you think this is helpful. Definitely review us on whatever platform you are listening to us on, whether it's Spotify, Apple. There's 100 of them out there that we're part of. So wherever you're listening to, please make sure you review our podcast. We always like that type of feedback, and it helps us get noticed more, which means we get to help more people. And that's the main reason we do this, is because we want to get more information out to more people. So hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully you learned something. You can check out our website, ondogtrainingacademy.com, for more stuff. We do have a free webinar there that is very helpful and I think would help. If you're struggling in what I was just talking about, that would definitely help you. It's a really good training webinar. You know, otherwise, you can check the description in the below the podcast here, and we have all of our links to all of our socials on there. Definitely go check those out. YouTube, everything. And if you feel inclined, we do have a tip jar. Don't have to. Like I said, we do this for free to help people, but this does cost money, and it's always sometimes nice to get a little bit of help. So anyways, guys, that is it for this week. Hopefully it was helpful. Hopefully you learned something. And, of course, we'll see you next week. Good dog.